This is Frankly MSP, where managed service providers get real.
Hey, and welcome to episode 38 of Frankly MSP, the podcast for managed service providers who want to boost their productivity, efficiency, and profitability. I'm your host, Jennifer Tribe. Well, it's here, or at least the announcement is here. I'm talking, of course, about Frankly MSP Live, the conference. I mentioned a few episodes ago that we were in the midst of planning it, and it's now official. The first ever Frankly MSP Live event will take place January 14th and 15th, 2020, in Santa Barbara, California. We have so much cool stuff lined up for you, and just like the podcast, it will all be focused on helping you increase the productivity, efficiency, and naturally the profitability of your managed service provider business. Tickets aren't on sale yet, but if you go to franklymsplive.com, you can leave your email address to be notified as soon as ticket sales open. We have put a hard cap on attendance. We're keeping it small for this first year to ensure that it's a knockout experience for everyone who attends. So mark the dates in your calendar now, January 14th and 15th, 2020, and definitely get your name on that notification list at franklymsplive.com. You'll get first dibs on the early bear, that's in quotes, early bear discounted tickets. Plus, you'll be on the VIP insider list, so you'll be the first to know as we lock in speakers and networking opportunities and all sorts of other really cool stuff. My guest on the show today is the owner of an MSP called Infinite Edge, based in Melbourne, Australia. His name, and here's where I have to admit, I've committed the podcast interviewer's cardinal sin of not confirming how to pronounce my guest name properly. His name is Martin Haack, H-A-A-K is the last name. If I've mispronounced that, Martin, my sincere apologies. Martin has what I think is a very interesting story. He started Infinite Edge as a one-man shop and ran it as a one-man shop for 6 years. Now, there are various reasons why he did that, why he kept it small for so long, and we go over those in the interview. But after 6 years, he decided he did want to grow and scale the business, but he still didn't want to hire any staff. So he chose to outsource all of his service delivery to a support team in the Philippines. And he was very successful with that. We talk about what that process looked like, the results he saw, and some of the lessons he learned along the way. You know, we talk on this show all the time about how to grow an MSP, how to improve your profitability. And I think it's important to note that there are many different ways to achieve that. You can certainly go what's perhaps the more traditional route and build an office, hire techs, hire sales and marketing, finance and admin, all of those people. Or you could do like Martin did and outsource absolutely everything. And then there's all the options in between, having an office of, say, 5 or 10, maybe just sales and marketing folks, and outsourcing the service delivery or supplementing your service delivery with an outsourced team. So I hope Martin's story gives you some food for thought, no matter where in your development and growth you might be. Now, I first learned about Martin in a book by James Vickery called Infinite Scale. James is the owner and CEO of Benchmark 365, and I interviewed him on episode 3 of this podcast about offshoring. We talked in that episode about the difference between true offshoring and outsourcing. So offshoring being that you have a team in another country. It's your company, your staff on your payroll. They serve your clients 100% of the time. Basically, it's just you in another place. Outsourcing is when you engage a third party. So they may answer the phone with your name, but they're doing that for a number of different clients and they're not on your payroll. They work for that third party company. So I want to make that distinction because in my interview with Martin, we mentioned offshoring and his offshore team quite a bit. We're actually talking about outsourcing, but the team he outsourced to at Benchmark 365 happens to be offshore. So that's where that comes in.
You're listening to Frankly MSP, brought to you by Avic Networks.
Just before we get to my chat with Martin Haack of Infinite Edge, we have our One Thing segment, where we talk about one thing, a tip, an idea, a tactic, anything really that can make a difference to your MSP. Today we've got Dom Price of Atlassian talking about the importance and power of focus.
Again, natural kind of human inclination. The very first time you go through this unlearning exercise, you're like, well, I can't possibly stop anything because, you know, everything I do is exceptionally important. The world, you know, let's be honest, the world would come to a grinding halt if I stopped doing everything. And so I must make sure all things get done still. So all I'll do is I'll spread them around. One of our co-founders, Scott, he calls it peanut buttering. Like whenever we're doing planning and we have this habit of, instead of stopping things, how can we spread them around? It'll stop the room and go, guys, girls, we're peanut buttering. And we're just spreading this thinly. And the thing is, when you put peanut butter on toast, you put a good amount on because it tastes nice. When you spread peanut butter really thinly, it's a bit blah. And so it's this thing of going, if you want to have impact, do less things and do them well.
That bit from Dom Price was from episode 13 of the podcast, where Dom talks about unlearning. That's figuring out each quarter what things to let go of and stop doing so you have room to pick up new things. It's an interesting philosophy and worth checking out. What's your one thing? If a new MSP walked up to you at a conference and said, I'm just getting started in this space, what advice can you give me? What's worked for you? And you can only tell them one thing, what would that one thing be? Tell us in a voice memo and email the recording to franklymsp@ovic.com. Or if you prefer, just shoot me a note at that same email address, franklymsp@ovic.com, and we can set up a time to record over the phone.
You're listening to Frankly MSP, brought to you by Ovic Networks.
Now we come to my interview with Martin Hawk, CEO of an MSP called Infinite Edge, and we talk about why he decided to outsource all of his service delivery. Hi, Martin. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, super happy that you could join us because you have a very interesting story that I think is going to resonate with a lot of folks in our audience. You have an MSP called Infinite Edge in Australia and started that up in 2010 and ran it as a one-person MSP for quite a long time. That was an interesting decision. So tell us about why you decided to just be one person for so long.
Yeah, well, I had another business before that. So I had a business partner and we had staff. We had about 6 or 7 staff and I sold out of the business. I wasn't sure what I was going to do, but my loyal clients decided for me, I suppose, by wanting to, well, to me to start my own thing. So that's where it was born. And it's a little bit jaded. There was a few things that went wrong with the last business, a bit of inexperience mixed with the GFC hitting and a bit of a fallout with my business partner as well. So I was a little bit jaded and wasn't really prepared to take on any staff and made a decision as well to learn all aspects of the business because I was very much a tech before that. That was my sole focus. And my business partner was focused more on the administrative side and the director side, and I was out in the field as a supervisor or on the tools. So I just wanted to learn everything about the business and teach myself everything about it. And I guess have a bit of a lifestyle business where I could have a few clients and just work from home or work from wherever I had a computer and internet. I had a smaller client base, probably around 250 to 300 endpoints. It was just enough to have enough time to do everything. I'd have days where I would just go to a cafe and do my books. And I quite enjoyed that. I quite enjoyed the satisfaction of trying to balance my books and do all the necessary things.
So what changed for you? I mean, you had this very nice business. It was small, but it was suiting your needs. What changed for you?
It was about 6 years into the business. My daughter was 2 and I'd really enjoyed my time with her. And I loved the flexibility of what I was doing because I could be at home, where a lot of my friends who had kids just didn't have that luxury. A really great time to be able to experience all that. When she turned 2, I decided, okay, I really want to do something with the business. I wanted to scale it. I wasn't exactly sure how. I was a bit gun shy to hire staff again after my last experience with the last business. Well, I liked the idea of offshoring, but I had no idea where to start. So then I made a decision. I actually had a client who was using an offshore provider for internal admin. They were in the finance business. And I just asked for an introduction to that business owner who was Sydney-based. And it just so happened that she shared an office with someone who had an IT team over there. And she introduced me. We got talking. And I guess from there, we made a decision that let's just try it.
And what did the process look like for you in terms of getting started with that offshoring?
I don't know if many people would be able to relate to that. But look, for me, I guess this is sometimes how I make decisions. I just dive straight into the deep end. I'm a bit of an overthinker. And sometimes the best thing for me is to just make a decision without too much thought and then just make it happen. Something I still agonize over. Definitely haven't been cured from that. But in this situation, I just thought, okay, that's it. I'm going to book a 7-week holiday with my family overseas, and I'm just going to have to make this work. I had no idea where I was going to start, but I knew that I'd have, that would force my hand to make a decision and work something out. And I had a few months to just make it happen.
And so what were you doing with your clients for those 7 weeks that you planned to be away? Were you still serving them remotely?
Well, the plan was not to. I had no intention of doing that. And that's why I wanted to actually go on a holiday and a proper holiday. And again, I think a lot of MSPs, one-man band MSPs in particular, can relate to this, is we kind of accept that when we go on holidays that we have to work. It's a working holiday. And for a while, it feels great. You know, you're like, oh, how good is this? I can drink cocktails by the pool and service my clients from anywhere in the world. But after a while, you realize that's not really a holiday. And I wanted a proper holiday where I could switch off and enjoy time with my family. So the plan was not to work at all. And so when we engaged Benchmark 365, the name of the provider, obviously there was quite a few teething issues. It definitely wasn't easy for me to make that transition. They also have to learn my business. And so there were obviously a few issues here and there, but my clients were really understanding. I've got a great relationship with my clients. I explained the situation to them. They knew I wanted to go overseas. They promised they would try not to bother me. But I said to them, look, it's still business as usual. I've got a team now, a support team. So if there's any issues, they can assist. So that was over a couple of years ago. There really wasn't much in terms of my intervention required. Everything went really, really well. Every now and then, I might jump in on an email. I wasn't watching emails constantly, but I might jump in and sort of my input might have been required. In some cases, it wasn't required. It's one of those things where it was hard to let go. Sometimes I jumped in and I thought I needed to intervene, but often I was actually just getting in the way. The real lesson I learned there is just to be able to let go and to be able to delegate. And it's not an easy lesson to learn when it's your baby and you're the one on the tools and basically you're doing all the work. So.
You're listening to Frankly MSP, brought to you by Avic Networks.
So would you still consider yourself a one-man band at this point? So it's you and then everything else is offshore?
So for a couple of years, it was just me and the offshore team. I did have subcontractors that I would use if an on-site visit was required. I'm part of a fantastic MSP community in Australia called SMB IT Pro, and they're national. So they've got a presence in every state, which is fantastic. And it just meant that we had those resources as well. So we had a couple of clients which had branches in other states, and I could call on some of the members to be my team on the ground. So that was really fantastic. And I mean, I just didn't have to get back on the tools. I didn't need to hire any techs. And then towards the end of last year, I put on Maria, and I wasn't quite sure what her role might be, but we had a cup of coffee. We knew each other. She used to work for a partner of ours, which was an internet and voice provider. She headed up the channel partner programs.
What is Maria's role in the business now then?
When I first brought her on board, we decided on a title that she would be a sales manager or sales operations manager. But after quite a short period of time, we actually came to the decision, once we did a bit of affinity mapping and tried to map out some roles in the business and work out whose responsibilities are what, we actually worked out that she'd be better suited at this stage, at least, because there was so much to do as a business manager. I wanted to free up my time to focus on generating ideas around the business and where it was going to head, sales, marketing, and account management. I needed help with systems and processes, all aspects of the business. So at this stage, she's doing a bit of everything. So she's helping us develop and refine and improve our systems and processes. And once we get those to a stage where we're happy to hand them off, we are just going to outsource them. And then eventually she'll come back into the fold, more of a account management salesperson, because that's really her strength, and also building partnerships. And that's sort of a direction that we want to head in, is looking at more partnerships rather than actually growing our own internal team.
So for about 6 years, you were a true one-man band, just you doing all of the things, wearing all of the hats. And then you brought on Benchmark. So for a couple of years, it was you and the offshore piece. What was the difference to you in the company between before you offshored and after?
Oh, look, it was amazing for my own mindset, but also the business had, I think it was 40 to 50% growth in that year that we put on Benchmark. And the main reason for that is, well, there's a few different reasons. I had a close relationship with James Vickery, who's founder of Benchmark. And we used to talk a lot about sales and MSPs and the market and the current market. And what I realized was that my MSP model was largely broken. And I think this is the trend in the market in general, is I hadn't really worked out my pricing properly. So I decided on a figure for my clients and just charged that set fee. But the end result was it was still a break fix type of approach and model because it was just me. I wasn't as proactive as I'd like to be. I was putting in a lot more time than I thought I was going to, or than I accounted for and that I was charging for. And I also didn't account for the administrative overhead, which a lot of MSPs don't as well. So once we started breaking that all down, I realized for some clients I was working for less than $10 an hour below minimum wage. So we realized that I had to change that. So I actually reverted back to a prepaid block time model where we were charging for everything. And interestingly enough, our clients were very receptive to it. Because I think what was happening was with the MSP model, they just never understood it. Because I didn't really understand it either. They didn't see value in it. They didn't know what they were getting for what they were paying. And they were happy to even pay a bit more if it just meant a better service and to see me be more proactive. And I think that's the other mistake that us MSPs often make, particularly when we're one-man bands, is that once we've got an MSP client, we sometimes neglect them a bit because we're spreading ourselves too thin. Everything's running smoothly. They don't need to see us. We've got all these tools in the background doing maintenance and monitoring and all that. And we just assume that the clients are fine with not hearing from us because that means everything's working. But the reality is that they miss that personal touch. And so I wanted to increase those touch points. And like I said, the clients were happy to move to the block time model. And that was largely a contributing factor to why our revenue increased so much and our profitability as well in that first year. And now we're at a point where we are reintroducing MSP pricing again because we've now figured out our costs, our break-even costs, and we know exactly what we need to charge. We've basically got a combination of a fixed price, monthly recurring revenue model, and block time as well for projects and things like that. There are still some clients on block time and they prefer to be on that model, but we're slowly trying to convince them that it's better value for them to go back onto the MSP model. And again, we're ready to do that now. And I think that that's the real crucial point is that if you're not ready and you don't understand your numbers and how much time you've invested into a client and what you need to be charging, then the MSP model can really be dangerous for an MSP because they can just lose money.
And do your clients know that all of your service delivery is done offshore?
Yes, they do. I was very open about that. There are colleagues that don't talk about it with their clients. And if a client asks, they might tell them, they may not. But we made a decision to be, you know, we're very big on honesty, integrity, and transparency. We just want to be fully transparent with our clients. I mean, it's pretty obvious anyway. And the ones, you know, every now and then we get like a staff member from a client or a new team member or something who after a few months might go, oh, you know, where's your team located? Or where's so-and-so from the team located? Are they in Sydney or where are they? You know, but it's pretty obvious. I mean, the Filipinos have a particular accent. And like I said, there was no point hiding that from my clients, in my opinion. I just wanted to be honest with them. And they were very receptive and we didn't have any pushback from clients. And in fact, they were actually happier because this is the other downside of being a one-man band is we have these delusions of grandeur that we're supporting our clients the best possible way and no one else can support our clients the way we can. But the reality is that we're spreading ourselves too thin and we're not actually giving them as much attention as they deserve. And they see that, we don't see that. And once we put on Benchmark and had a team over there that were much more responsive, gave my clients better support than I could have given them. It was a bit of a reality check and I realized, well, I wasn't giving my clients as good a service as I actually thought I was all these years.
So if you had it to do all over again, would you wait 6 years to start offshoring or would you bring it in sooner?
Oh, look, I definitely would bring it in sooner. There's definitely some lessons I've learned from it. Last year, I was involved in a panel discussion on offshoring and there was a number of us who had experience with it. And well, it was a very interesting discussion. And Nigel Moore, he was involved in that discussion. He actually did a presentation on that. And then we had a bit of a Q&A and he actually summed it up very, very well. And I had a bit of a chuckle when he put down the key things that he learned from offshoring, because if someone had told me that when I started my journey, I would have been a lot less stressed. In reality, it took us about 18 months to really feel like everything was running the way I wanted it to run. Nigel was saying you have to give it about 6 months at least. And that's great advice, because a lot of people give it a try and then they give up really, really quickly because things aren't working out. And inherently what it does, and this is the same as putting on any team member, I suppose, but you know, in our case, because we're putting on an entire team overnight, essentially, it really highlighted the flaws in our systems and processes and documentation. Particularly documentation. And I think that's a bugbear for every MSP, is to get that documentation constantly updated. And so that was a real challenge. And so what we learned was that was really important to get that right. And particularly them being over there, they don't know our clients. They've never been there. They don't know what the office looks like. They don't know where the computers are, where the server rack is. All of those things have to be absolutely documented to the last little detail. What I've realized is over-communicate. If I sit there and I give someone an instruction and I think, oh, should I explain it a little bit more? I've realized that if I'm thinking that, I should do it. It just saves a lot of back and forth and a lot of miscommunication. There was a language barrier as well, and a cultural barrier, because you know, they do things a little bit differently over there. So it's important to be aware of that and to be patient. And also to try and involve them as much as you can in your own culture, you know, not have an us and them mentality. I think that's a mistake that a lot of people make as well. You know, they are part of your team and you've got to treat them that way. So again, another great bit of advice that Nigel had was fly over there, fly them here, make them part of your team, and it will bring amazing results in terms of their performance and their loyalty.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Martin, and for sharing your story.
Thank you, Jennifer.
That was Martin Hawk, CEO of Infinite Edge out of Melbourne, Australia. I'll put links to all of the things we discussed on today's episode in today's show notes at avic.com/franklymsp/038. If you'd like to continue the conversation about outsourcing and offshoring, head over to the Frankly MSP community on LinkedIn. We're always interested to hear about your take and your experiences. And of course, don't forget to get in touch with me if you want to contribute to the One Thing segment. You can reach me at franklymsp@avic.com. That's a wrap. Till next time, this is Jennifer Tribe. Thanks for listening.
Frankly MSP, brought to you by Avic Networks, the most efficient and profitable way to manage your clients' networks.